Hi, welcome to episode 375 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and man, do I love them Japanese boy bands.
Oh!
That didn't take me very long. Today, Fantastic Four, 375, from April 1993. It's Always Darkest Before the Doom, by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. And for the second time this year, another cover gimmick. Issue 371 had this horrible red cover with an embossed image of the Human Torch. Really ugly stuff. This issue has the FF on the cover with Reed, Ben, Sue, and Sharon carrying these humongous oversized guns and a metallic, it's kind of like a holographic background. It's so shiny, like a J.J. Abrams movie. I tell you what, the cover of this comic, with its gimmick and the big guns, is like, it screams, "Hey, I'm a 1990s comic book!" Our story picks up where we left off last issue, by literally reprinting the last page of the last issue, something I don't think I've ever seen a comic book ever do before, where the FF were fighting the Secret Defenders and were teleported away. They reappear on the moon in the home of Uatu the Watcher. The FF wonder why he brought them there, and not some other superhero team. Like, really? Who else would the Watcher bring? The New Warriors? Does he really want to have Speedball helping him out? I don't think so. Sue asks, "Why isn't he a fan of the X-Men like everyone else?" I guess the Watcher just wanted to get a little closer look at Sue's new slutty outfit. The Watcher shows them Aaron the Evil Watcher in his glass coffin, and explains how Dr. Doom came along and stole Aaron's powers. And then Doom showed up on the moon, threatening to conquer Uatu the Watcher and take over his citadel. Sue says that's not their problem. The Watcher can defend himself. The Human Torch agrees. Sue's right. Nobody appointed us Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, there are no Guardians of the Galaxy, that's for sure. For example, the FF have never had a good movie. Lijah says that she has no interest in helping out Earth or to be associated with the Fantastic Four. If she didn't want to be associated with the Fantastic Four, maybe she shouldn't have married one of its members. Uatu the Watcher says that Dr. Doom isn't just a threat to Earth, he's a threat to the entire universe. And then, the Watcher disappears to go consult with other members of his race, leaving the FF all alone. What a shitty host. He invites them to his crib, and then he bails on them. No hors d'oeuvres or anything. So everyone goes to check on the Thing, who just had his face slashed by Wolverine. They look at him, and there's these patches on his face where the rocks were cut off, showing this pinkish skin underneath. Everyone thinks it's pretty gross. But then again, Ben was never, he was never no Jason Priestley in the first place. Back with Dr. Doom, he's flying around the Watcher's house, reveling in his all-new cosmic powers, thinking that he can soon get the universe to grovel at his feet. He only took the powers of Aaron the Watcher. Like, was Aaron the Watcher really that powerful in the first place? To conquer the universe? I don't think so. He finds some robots and he starts to reprogram them, and next, he decides his first order of business is the complete destruction of the Fantastic Four. Well, that's no surprise. Maybe he should start at the bottom, with Moon Knight, and work his way up to the Fantastic Four. Next, Black Bolt and the Inhuman Royal Family, they heard the ruckus next door at the Watcher's house, and they hop in a little airship and they fly over to check things out. They get to the wall, and Karnak the Magnificent is going to punch a hole in the wall, but instead, he swings his arm and he falls through like it's a holographic wall. Back inside, everyone is split up to have a look around, and Sharon and Ben are off together. Ben is concerned with the Watcher and what's going on, but all Sharon wants to do is talk about her relationship with Ben. She says to him, "Sooner or later, you're going to have to start dealing with me." But fortunately for Ben, a big killer robot shows up and they start to fight. Surprisingly, the robot starts to get the best of Ben and knocks a few more bricks off Ben's already injured face. When the robot turns to attack Sharon, Ben jabs a long, jagged beam of metal through its chest, killing it. Ben expresses concern that with his face exposed like that, he'll be too easily injured, so he comes up with a solution. Meanwhile, Johnny has been teamed up with Elijah the Skrull. Boy, Reed sure has made up these teams to provide the maximum romantic conflict, hasn't he? But since Elijah saved Johnny from Ghost Rider, he wonders that maybe Elijah still has feelings for him. She just says that she saved him because the honor of killing him is hers. Johnny says that he left her behind because he thought she was dead. She calls him a liar and tries to blast him with some kind of hand laser. And then Dr. Doom shows up and calls it a tedious lover's quarrel. And boy, Dr. Doom really hit that nail on the head. He says it's all pointless because they're both about to perish. Elijah tries to shoot him with a hand laser, but Dr. Doom just deflects it right back at her. She gets stunned, and Johnny has to fly her away to safety. Next, Johnny tries to blast Dr. Doom with flames, which it didn't work the first 100 times that Johnny tried to attack Dr. Doom with flames. Maybe it'll work this time, right? Nope. Doom just absorbs the heat and blasts Johnny with energy that extinguishes his flames and leaves Johnny realizing that he's pretty screwed. Back in New York City, Matt Murdock, lawyer for the Fantastic Four, is meeting with representatives of Empire State University regarding the incident where Johnny burnt down the school. The female lawyer, Miss Yukaki, that's a terrible name, working with Murdock, offers the school a deal, a sizable cash settlement, a new athletic center, and future proceeds from the scientific patents owned by the Fantastic Four, in exchange for dropping the charges against Johnny Storm. Murdock seems surprised. This deal could leave the FF penniless. But Miss Yukaki says that she was ordered by Sue Richards to make this offer, and the folks from ESU seem interested. Back on the moon, Reed and Sue are doing what they do best. No, not making sweet, sweet love in an alien environment, but bickering. Well, mostly it's Sue who's doing all the bickering. Tom DeFalco has really turned Sue into a nagging, harping bitch.
I can't believe you allowed the Watcher to buffalo you into fighting his battle while Johnny's wanted back on Earth. You're always more concerned with your scientific toys than my concerns. Nag, 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 nag.
I think Tom DeFalco's intent was to portray Sue as a strong, confident woman, but boy, does he really miss the mark on this one. Just then, Doom shows up and Reed tells Sue she's got to help protect his device, the Optimizer. She tells him to protect it himself. She's going to go attack Doom. But he just deflects the invisible force daggers she throws his way, and when he shoots at her, Reed yanks her to safety. She naggingly says,
I could have saved myself.
So Doom starts trying to zap Sue with his energy, and she has a force field up, but she's putting up a huge struggle to keep it up. But she collapses under the strain, and she gets knocked out. Reed's optimizer is destroyed, and Doom flies away to make some repairs to his armor. Back at FF headquarters, little Franklin is having a temper tantrum, worried that his parents are in danger. Agatha Harkness, the witch nanny, tries to get him to calm down, but his eyes glow and he screams out,
You can't stop me! No one can!
And he zaps her with his powers and she flies over the couch and onto the floor. Franklin calms down and is like,
Uh-oh! Agatha! Aunt Agatha!
Back with Ben and Sharon, Ben has taken the head off some robot, and he puts it on over his head like a helmet, similar to the one he wore back in the early days of the FF. And then the Inhumans show up, and Medusa wraps up Sharon with her long hair. Back with Reed and Sue, Sue wakes up and Johnny and Elijah arrive. Johnny asks his sister if she's okay, and Sue replies,
Nothing that a few cases of Tylenol 2099 couldn't cure.
I guess that means Sue is a reader of Marvel's 2099 line of comics? She dresses like a huge slut, and she reads comics. I think this must be Tom DeFalco's idea of the perfect woman. Reed mentions that Dr. Doom has become extremely powerful, and he's trying to modify some of the Watcher's technology to deal with them and enhance their individual powers. So Dr. Doom shows up again, this time with a team of robots. So we know he means business. And back at FF headquarters, a mysterious man in silver armor teleports in via a time travel platform and starts looking around. He finds his grandson down on the floor next to Agatha, acting like Ike Turner.
I didn't mean to hurt you, Agatha. I'm so sorry, Aunt Agatha.
Franklin looks up at the mysterious, grandfatherly older man, who says,
It's all right, Franklin. She is destined to live.
Franklin asks,
Who are you?
And he replies,
Someone who has always loved you.
But before this mysterious grandfatherly relative can reveal who he is, we go back to the moon, where the fight between Dr. Doom and the Fantastic Four is already in progress. So the device Reed has cooked up, seemingly in minutes, has increased Johnny's powers, and Johnny flies at Dr. Doom and tries to blast him with super powerful flames. Still, as always, it does no good. And Doom blasts Johnny, destroying his optimizer. Reed has suddenly cobbled together another optimizer to help Sue increase her powers. But Doom flies over and blasts the device into pieces. But Reed has a trick up his sleeve. When Dr. Doom destroyed those two optimizers, the energy was absorbed into another of Reed's devices, which he uses to blast the shit out of Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom gets knocked to the ground. Seems like he might be defeated. But no, he is right back up and he starts shooting energy at everyone, hoping to destroy the FF once and for all. Ben, Sharon, and the Inhumans enter the room, and Black Bolt flies into Dr. Doom's back, knocking him down. Reed gives a giant gun to Ben and tells him to shoot Dr. Doom, which he does. But it doesn't do any good. Dr. Doom tells Sharon to reveal her true alliance, her true allegiance. But she's like, she's kind of torn. Dr. Doom helped cure her of being a she-thing, but on the other hand, he's kind of a dick. And she says, she's like, screw him. And she tosses a big chunk of metal at Doom, who blasts the metal into pieces. He says that Sharon will not have to die like all the others. Ben asks Sharon, you were spying on us all the time? First Lyja, now Sharon. Sue may be a bitch, but at least Reed isn't married to a spy. Sharon says she only wanted to help Ben to cure him of being the thing the way Doom cured her. Of course, I should mention that Ben Grimm, he chose to become the thing. He's a rock monster now because he chose to be a rock monster. Does he really want to be cured? Reed tells everyone they need to present a united front against Dr. Doom. Man, Reed and Sue, Johnny and Lyja, and Ben and Sharon. Tom DeFalco has turned the Fantastic Four into the Insufferable Six. Reed comes up with a new way to power his optimizer device. He asks Black Bolt to shout into it. The optimizer can harness the powers of Black Bolt's powerful sound waves and focus them. So Black Bolt reluctantly agrees. He speaks into the device. We don't know what he says. Probably something like, I hope this works so I can get away from these insufferable people. The optimizer takes in the energy from Black Bolt's voice and fires a huge blast at Dr. Doom, which is too much for him to take. He flies up into the air and seemingly explodes. Oh, I hope the Watcher has homeowner's insurance, because his roof is fucked. Just then, Uatu the Watcher returns. Ben tells him he missed a wild party, but the Watcher says nothing. He just teleports the Insufferable Six back to FF headquarters. Sharon wants to explain things to Ben, but Ben tells her he doesn't want to talk. Agatha comes in with her head bandages on, and she's like, she says she's had some problems with Franklin. Sue asks where her son is, and Agatha says, he's playing with our visitor. Sue's like, what visitor? But then, the mysterious older man enters the room carrying Franklin, and it's, surprise, surprise, Franklin's grandfather, Reed's dad, Nathaniel Richards. And finally, not to leave us hanging on whether or not Dr. Doom is really dead or not, like anyone in comics ever dies, we go back to Castle Doom, where a beat-up and battered Dr. Doom arrives. Injured, he lost his power battery that made him so powerful, but he's already beginning to get his revenge on the Fantastic Four. And that is the end of this double-sized 375th anniversary issue. 375 issues. Sounds like an odd number to celebrate, but I guess they figured it was a multiple of 25, so they slapped a gimmicky cover on it and charged a whopping $2.95 for it. So anyway, you can download other episodes of this podcast at iTunes and find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. I've posted some of my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Stronger than ever. Back to get wrecked. All respect to those who break their neck to keep their hopes in check. As though they sweat a brother majorly. And I don't know why your girl keeps paging me. To tell me that she needs me.
smiles when she leaves me, and every time she sees me, she squeeze me. Ladies, take it easy. Hate to sound sleazy, but tease me. I don't want it if it's that easy. Hey, yo, bust it. Baby, got a problem saying.